The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. And again, say good morning to your neighbor to the left and to the right. Hallelujah. Okay, so we are looking at double portion. But the question this morning is, what are you asking for? What are you asking for? So ask that neighbor that you just greeted. Say, Oga, don't be upset. What are you asking for? You know, what are you, madam, what are you asking for? Go ahead and ask the next neighbor to the other side. What are you asking for? So our text is and remains Genesis 48, verse 20. Genesis 48, 20 says, so Jacob blessed the two boys. So the background to this is that Joseph had brought his two sons to Jacob to bless. Now this is so prophetic because the two children of Joseph were going to become individual tribes in Israel. Now there were 12 brothers already. They were Joseph and 11 others. And they are going to be 12 tribes prophetically. But God already knew that Levi was going to be his own. Levi was going to be the priesthood, the nation of priesthood, or the tribe of priesthood. He already made provision. So instead of blessing Joseph, he blessed the two sons of Joseph in preparation and readiness for when Israel will need another tribe to make up for 12. Hallelujah. So it's so powerful. So powerful. What's going on here? So Joseph now brought his two sons to be blessed by Jacob. He arranged it in such a way that Jacob's right hand would go on the firstborn and his left hand would go on the secondborn. And rightfully so, because the right hand is the hand of power, is the hand of authority. The right hand is the hand of victory. The left hand blessed also carries blessings, but the right hand is superior. So that's why we pray that the right hand of God will rest upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. So when he brought the children, Jacob by this time was old and feeble and, you know, couldn't see properly and all that. So when he brought the two children, Jacob crossed his hands, putting his right hand on the younger, Ephraim, and his left hand on the older, Manasseh. Joseph protested and said, oh, dad, no, dad. This is the younger. This is the older. I knew what I was doing. Dad says, I know what I am doing. You know, that is the older truly, but that is the older. So Jacob blessed the boys that day with this blessing. The people of Israel, we use your names when they give a blessing. They will say, may God make you as prosperous as Ephraim. And, it was a and. So Manasseh was not out of the equation. It was just the prophetic destiny of Ephraim and Manasseh. You have a prophetic destiny. Even your father cannot stop it. Joseph could not stop. You know, there are some parents that try to manipulate children's lives. God will strike you if you don't repent in the name of Jesus. If there are parents that are trying to manipulate children's destinies, if you don't stop it, God will strike you. Allow God's will to be done. Allow God's will to be done. It says, may God make you as prosperous. So this is the blessing that Jacob placed on them. And he blessed them that there will be a proxy to God's blessing. So he blessed them that the nation of Israel will say, may God bless their own children like Ephraim and Manasseh. In other words, Ephraim and Manasseh will be so powerful and so blessed. Ephraim before Manasseh. He says, so in this way, Jacob put Ephraim. Now, if that was not there in scriptures, you know, people, there will be a lot of argument on, okay, it doesn't matter whose name came first or did come first and all that stuff. God is the deliberate God, very deliberate. This, in this way, Jacob put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Praise the name of the Lord. And with the concept of the firstborn, why is this so important? It is so important because the precept that God laid down for the children of Israel is that the firstborn will have double portion of the father's inheritance. So whatever comes to Joseph, the firstborn will have the father's, double of the father's inheritance, double in comparison to what everybody else gets. So let's break this down. So if a man has three children and is bequeathing an inheritance of $800 million to his three children, he has three children, is leaving them $800 million. His firstborn will have $400 million. His secondborn will have $200 million, and his thirdborn will have $200 million. So the firstborn will have double the portion of what everybody else gets. And that is what it was at the time with the inheritance, the physical inheritance. And guess what? That is also what it was with the spiritual inheritance. So there's what they call the blessing, the birthright, the blessing that comes with that birthright. It's a little beyond the scope of this teaching, but I need to explain it so that we have a better understanding. So the firstborn, particularly, I mean, when you look at it, you're like, okay, so why? The Bible says that because it's the one that opens the matrix. You know, the scriptures can be very graphic in this description. So it's because it's the one that opens the matrix. Now, and firstborns have peculiar battles. So in a way, God was resourcing them for the battles they have to fight. God was resourcing them for the battles, both physically, financially, and spiritually, for the battles, the battles of the firstborn child. We did a whole teaching on that, you know, some time ago. is real, you know. So when in some situations, God just, in his own infinite wisdom, stops where the birthright goes, he knows what he's doing. Praise the name of the Lord. And also, prophetically, Joseph had prophetically named the children to prepare the ground. So he named the children, the firstborn, he named him Manasseh, which is like end of my plight, end of my sorrows, as in affliction has come to an end. And he named the secondborn Ephraim, which is doubly fruitful, double portion, double blessing. So when it came to Jacob, he was trying to put double portion a second. And Jacob said no. He didn't say that in scripture, but I'm paraphrasing, that you already caught this thing in the spirit when you named these boys. Hallelujah. So the question this morning to you is, what are you asking for? So sometimes, like Manasseh, we are not in that place of divine election. Sometimes, the ratio of the people in the place of divine election is very little. So there are people that by divine election, God will change things. Now, remember, the patriarch in question, it was a patriarch. The patriarch in question was Jacob. Israel. How did he acquire the blessing? It was not by divine election. It was by personal desire and asking and demanding. It was not by divine election. So it was at birth. He struggled with Esau at birth. He held his leg at birth. But Esau broke through first. So there were two nations. And as they progressed, he desired the double portion. Esau, on the other hand, had it, and he was like, it's mine. It's mine. There's nothing you can do about it. Jacob demanded it from Esau. Esau said, okay, pay this price. If you give me nice asaru, I will, you know, thinking this boy is just basically, I'm just swipe his asaru for nothing. Which is why you have to be careful. There's nothing that is for nothing. You have to be careful. So you may think, oh, I will just do this, I'll get away with it. Oh, I'll just take this, it's okay. No! At the time he ate the asaru, the thing was too sweet. He forgot about the birthright. Jacob did not stop there. Jacob went to the father by the help of the mother, got that blessing before Esau. Esau was mad when he realized, he says, this boy has cheated me twice. He has stolen my birthright. Hey, he didn't steal it. It was a transaction. Now, that's a story for another day. But Jacob has been bastardized and wrongly accused of stealing Esau's birthright. Jacob didn't steal it. So what am I saying? There are things you can ask for in the spirit. Even if you are not divinely elected for, there are things you can ask for. John Knox said to God, "Give me England or I die." He was asking, "Give me this nation or I die." He was placing it. What are you placing a demand for? What are you placing a demand for? So you cannot sit down and say, well, it's divine election. It didn't happen to me like that. It's circumstantially, I wasn't positioned. It was divine. No. What I'm saying is that you can ask. Everybody say ask. And the asking that delivers this kind of result is not, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus and I believe it and I walk away. It's not that kind of asking. I'm not saying that is irrelevant and I'm not saying that is important. I'm just saying that can be the beginning. The asking I'm talking about is the asking like Jabez. Oh, that you will bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Jabez stood with God knowing that if God doesn't help him, he's in trouble. What are you asking this season? What are you placing a demand for? Are you placing a demand for anything? Or do you just think it's a fear? Oh, it's 2 weeks fast. Oh, we do it. It's going to be fun. You know, we do the life group thing, you know, and then we come on Sunday. It was Thanksgiving. We all dress nicely and dance. Hey, let's say, hey. There are orchestrations going on around you. Even right now. And my job is to open your eyes to it so that you can take a position. What are you asking for? What are you asking for? So Jacob, the patriarch in question, showed us how to get the right hand blessing even if you are not the firstborn, quote unquote. How to get the right hand blessing even if you are not divinely elected for it, quote unquote. You know, it means that we cannot just say, oh, God did not anoint me like this person. Oh, I don't have this special grace. I don't have this special... Do you want it? That's the question. Is it required for where you are going? Do you want to be great for God? And of course, if you want to be great for God, you require this level of anointing. Then what are you asking for? That's the question to you this morning. What are you asking for, my brother? So look at that neighbor again and say, what are you asking for? What are you asking for? So, the patriarch in question, Jacob, even though he had obtained the blessing from his father, rightfully so, because he valued and demanded for it, he also knew that except the Lord builds, they labor in vain that build. When he got the opportunity with God, I pray that you take your opportunities. He held on to God. I will not let you go except you bless me. He demanded it. He asked for it. And the scripture says that he wrestled for it. Till morning. And the Lord had to say, it was not just an angel, it was the angel of the Lord. Pre-incarnate Christ, the angel, said to him, okay, what do you want? You can wrestle with God and prevail. You can wrestle with God and prevail. Again, we've taught you all that, you know. So I just want to stay focused on this line. He held on. I will not let you go except you bless me. I will not let you go except you bless me. I will not let you go. You know that song, right? If you don't know it, you know, you need to be old school. it is a prayer chant war song that back in the day. And we want to pray for God's blessing. Then first start, I will not let you go except you bless me. Prayer! You know, then you will fire the prayer. Now listen, it is that kind of intensity of heart. I'm not talking about just pray, oh, let my enemy die, oh, Father, I die, Father. That's not what I am saying. Absolutely not. You can't go to God and be so blessed and anointed that when the enemies show up in your presence, they fall down and die by themselves. Because of the covenant you are walking in. Again, we've talked extensively about that. I want to stay on course. So the patriarch we are talking about shows us that you can get this thing by what? Asking, demanding, refusing to back down. So what does that tell us? God is not a respecter of persons. Now, listen to this. The Bible says that Jesus became the firstborn among many brethren. He became the firstborn. So by him, we have access to these blessings. And if he did not withhold his son, if God did not withhold his son, and give him to us, it shows that God will not withhold anything from us, really, if we position and demand based on the covenant. So this is very interesting. So the double portion is your portion. You must see the double portion as your portion. It's my portion. So, Pastor, you're saying we all can have the portion? Exactly. So, it'd be, oh, yeah, oh, but Pastor, I'm not the firstborn. So, it means I can have the portion. God bless you. You are paying attention. You're saying, oh, but I've not been, quote unquote, divinely elected. I'm not one of the special ones. It means I can also have the double portion. Your head is there. It means that you can. You can. So the era of the double portion being available to just the first person is gone. You are in an era where whosoever wills may come. Whosoever wills may come. If you will ask, you will get. Now, it is so important that you protect your focus when you've entered this lane. Because there are many distractions. You need to protect your focus. So again, say to that neighbor, stay focused. My brother, stay focused. My sister, stay focused. Stay focused. Stay focused. A couple of things. What are you asking for? What are you asking for? What are you asking for? Sweets? What are you asking for? What are you asking for? And then on the other hand, do you really know what you're asking for? Do you really know? What are you asking for? The first thing that, you know, I want to bring out, and we're going to look at the story of Elijah. We've been looking at Ephraim and Manasseh. We are learning from them, and we are getting blessed by them. So the first thing about the double portion is this. A double portion brings greater responsibility. A double portion brings what? Greater responsibility. So, what are you asking for? Do you know what you're asking for? On one hand, I've encouraged you to. On the other hand, the question is also a double-edged question. Do you know what you're asking for? What are you asking for? 2 Kings 2:9. Elisha asked Elijah after all the things Elijah took him through. Elijah finally said, "What do you want?" Elisha said, "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." And this is the most popular rendition of double portion. Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. What was he saying? I want to be in charge of the school of prophets. Now, Elijah was such an amazing leader. Elisha was not so much of an amazing leader. Again, so story for another day. Elijah had schools of prophets that he started and was distributed. And Elisha was a part of the school of prophets. So he had other contemporaries. So he was saying, I want to be the firstborn. I want that responsibility, the double portion of your spirit to be upon me. I want to be the voice of this nation. He saw what Elijah went through. Threats to his life by Jezebel. You know, he was running for his, he was went through some kind of hardship. Elisha was saying, I want double. Responsibilities comes with blessings. Now, when you ask for blessings, be aware that you are also asking for responsibilities. Typical example, I mean, you know the billing culture, you know, that they will bill you. You know, that's just surface stuff. Because if you are blessed, you are going to be responsible. Everybody say responsible. You're going to be responsible for quite a number of things. So what are you asking for? What are you asking for? You know, there was the time when the children, the disciples of Jesus, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, went to bring their mother to come and ask Jesus for special positions to be on the right and on the left hand of Jesus. I mean, he had only right and left hand now. And there are 12 disciples. Jesus had right and left hand. So they had to bring their mother. We've done this teaching before. Now if you drill deeper, Salome, the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, was Jesus' auntie. James and John were his cousins. So they were bringing family things into the ministry. They came and they begged Jesus. They brought their mother. You know, in other words, Even though when she came, the Bible says she worshipped him, she bowed before him, and, you know, recognizing him as Christ. But now me change your diaper when you be picking. You know, we are the ones that, you know, buff you, you know. And she demanded. She put all those aside and she worshipped. She respected him. That should have softened Jesus' heart, right? Of course it did. And she now said, let these my two sons, let one be on your right and the other on the left. And I was disregarding all these other ones that are following you. These are my boys. How do you think, you know, Peter felt, you know, or Andrew, or Bartholomew, and the others? But Jesus, understanding his assignment and the weight of it. In Matthew 20:22, but Jesus answered and said, do you know what you're asking for? You think it's about position? Oh, I'm the right-hand man. I'm his left-hand man. Do you think it's about position? If Jesus had said yes, guess what's going to happen? James and John will be struggling for who will be on the right and who will be on the left. They'll be jostling, you be on the left, you be on the right. No. Why should I be on the left? You go to the left. They'll be jostling for positions. People that jostle for positions really don't really know what they are asking for. You know what you're asking for. Says, do you know what you're asking for? Some people just want to be, I'm the head of department. You should accord me this. This is not accorded to me. I want to understand, you know, if you people understand what my right is, who I am, you know. I am the head of department. Do you guys understand that? HOD. Do you know what it is to be HOD? You know. Mm-mm. Do you even know where you are? Do you know where you are? It says that you know not what you ask. Instead of seeing the positions, see the cup that you will drink from. Instead of seeing the prestige, see the baptism that you'll be baptized in. He says, are you able to drink of the cup or to be baptized with the baptism that I will be baptized with? Are you able to do it? You know, they said yes. But he needed to show them that when you are talking about double portion, when you are talking about positions, and blessings, when you are talking about greatness, most people focus on the blessing. Jesus says, look at the responsibilities. I kid you not. You know, praying that God should anoint me. Oh God, anoint me. You know, I was looking at what sincerely though, what I could do for God and things I could achieve for God. I wasn't looking at myself. I was looking for things I could do for God. But I also wasn't looking at the cup. And I also wasn't looking at the baptism. In retrospect, you know, would I ask to be anointed so heavily? Would I? I will not answer it on camera. But the truth is, I will not jump at it the way I did. If I get myself to the place of asking, I would be very sober when I was asking. I was asking, placing it in my hand, asking. What? They were saying, what are you asking? Do you know what you're asking? So the question this morning is, what are you asking? On one hand, ask big. Don't ask for sweets. On the other hand, know the responsibilities of what you are asking. Don't think of the position. People that come to me and have conversations of positions, Many times I just say, I just smile, I just say, oh, I say surface things, I just leave them. They don't know what they are asking for, what they are talking about. Talk, see the cup, see the baptism. Can you see the cup you are going to drink from? Would I have chosen the path that of the cup I have drank from? Would I have? That's a question. Would I have chosen the baptism? People can look at you and say, oh, he's just lucky, she's just lucky, or this and that. Can they drink the cup? Can they be baptized in the baptism? Jesus was saying, do you know what you're asking for? Do you know what you're asking for? Winston Churchill once said that the price of greatness is responsibility. Is responsibility. To whom much is given? Luke 12:48, much is required. To whom much is given, much is required. Much is required. So when Elisha asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit, he wasn't just asking for power. He was asking for responsibility. As you pray for increase, you should ask yourself, am I ready to be a steward? Everybody says steward. Am I ready to be a steward of what God is bringing my way? Why? Because the more influence you receive, the greater accountability that is on your life. You need to realize that. So that's the first thing. That's the first thing. The second thing is that double portion, as we've been hearing, requires persistence. Requires persistence. Matthew 7:7, the word of God says in Matthew 7:7 that ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. That word ask is ask and keep on asking. It's in the present continuous. Seek is seek and keep on seeking. Knock is knock and keep on knocking. I think knock is the one that brought up the book because nobody knocks by. If you go to the door and you do boom, if you knocked, you're not. Even if you do boom, boom, yeah, well, you started knocking. Knock, keep knocking, and the door will be open to you. So, to the when do I stop asking? When you find, when you receive. When should I stop asking? I've been asking. When should I stop asking? When you receive, my sister, my brother. When should I stop seeking? I've been seeking. When you find. When should I stop knocking? I've been knocking. When the door is open to you. It requires persistence. Why? Because one of my favorite parts of scriptures, one of the parts of scriptures that shaped me growing up in God, was the verse that comes after this. He says that for everyone that asks, receives. Everyone that seeks, finds. And to everyone that knocks, the door will be opened. I said, wait a minute. So what about those that ask and did not receive? They stopped asking. What about those that were seeking and did not find? They stopped seeking. What about those that knocked and the door was not open to them? They stopped knocking. Oof. Because everyone that asks, receives. Everyone that seeks, finds. And to everyone that knocks, the door will be open. So I said to myself, Femi, your case will not be different. You are not about to break God's record. You are not going to be the first that we ask and not receive. So I stilled myself and I wrestled with this scripture. What is it that you're trusting God for? What is it that you believe God has for you that you have not received? Ask and don't stop. Seek and don't stop. Knock and don't stop. The door will be opened. Hallelujah. The door will be opened. Your case will not be different. The scriptures will not be invalid in your case. Everyone that asks receives. Everyone that seeks finds. Everyone. I love scriptures that have everyone, you know. Everyone means what? I'm included. Everyone means you are included. So you are inexcusable. Everyone. You know, someone says, a wise man once said that persistence is not a long race. Yeah, I'm talking about it. Persistence is a long race. No, persistence is not a long race. It is many short races, one after the other. So you just finish running a race, you're starting another one. That's the challenge. That's why, so people, after they've run a couple, they're like, I'm tired though. No, don't stop. Don't stop. Elijah, in 2 Kings 2:10, Elijah said to Elisha, if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not be yours. Wow. Wow. If you see me, it will be yours. Otherwise, it's not yours. Don't think it's automatic. That's the challenge. Oh, some folks say, oh, I'm king's kid. Oh, this, that. Don't think it's automatic. You have to understand that double portion requires persistence. So Elisha had to be attentive. He's come all the way. If you fell asleep, you just wake up, a guy is gone. Say, that will not be your story. That will not be your story. You have to pay attention to the end. To pay attention. When he saw Elijah going, he says, Master, I see you, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. The mantle dropped. Hallelujah. You know, some wise man said that success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. I mean, it's so powerful. Why a lot of destinies have been cut short is because they've been successful. It's not failure. It's not village people. It's because they tasted some level of success. That's what cut off their destiny. Do you know success can cut off people's destiny? Success will not cut off your destiny in the name of Jesus. Success is not final. You've succeeded. There is a level, another level. Go and succeed again. Then you succeed again. That is it. Failure is not fatal either. You failed. That's not the end. So, Pastor, you don't know what I've gone through. Lost everything. Lost this. It's not fatal. If you can get up, you will get it. Can you get up? Elisha had to persist. He had to persistently follow Elijah to the very end to receive double portion. So, as you've heard us say many times, that miracles is outside of your comfort zone. Miracle is outside of your comfort zone. It's outside of your comfort zone. Your blessing is often on the other side of your persistence. Your blessing, there's the wall of persistence. This is you. This is where the blessings is. You have to break through that wall of persistence. So, don't be passive. Be active. Be consistent in your effort. Keep knocking until the door opens and your door of greatness will open in the name of Jesus. The door of abundance will open. The door of relevance will open in the mighty name of Jesus. So, a double portion, number three, goes beyond expectations. It goes beyond expectations. God will do beyond your wildest expectations. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. Immeasurably more. that you can ask or imagine. Listen, when the double portion comes, it's going to blow your mind, literally. You're going to be, how? If as a church today, I mean, who would have thought that we'll have churches in Costa Rica where we always need an interpreter? We have churches in Paraguay. We have churches in Colombia. Colombia, we only watch Colombia in movies. We have churches in different parts of the world. God, beyond our expectations. In a few days, we are going to Argentina. What God is doing is beyond. There are doors that your father cannot open for you. Has your father been to Argentina? you know, you can't. There are doors that your mother cannot open for you. There are doors that your friends cannot open for you. There are doors that only God can. And it only comes when the right hand of God is upon you. God will do immeasurably more than you can ever ask or imagine. Just take the first step. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. Someone said that go as far as you can see. When you get there, you'll be able to see further. You see, the challenge is that many people, they stand where they are and they say, I can't see my destiny. I can't see further. I can't see where God is taking me. But you can see the next step. Madam, take the next step. Oga, take the next step. That's what you need to take. Say, but I can't see you. I want to see my destiny. I want to have visions. I want to be sure. But you can see the few steps ahead of you. Take those. Guess what? By the time you get there, you can see further. Maybe you see another three steps. Then you take it. When you get there, you see another three steps. You take it. When you get there, then guess what? When you look back, you're like, wow. This is how big God is. God is not restricted by thoughts of men. People that are wishing you bad, that are winching you, they are irrelevant. That's why he says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And you know that illustration. When you hold a lamp, how far do you see? A few steps. But when you take those steps, what happens? You see the next few steps. You have to keep going. Because Isaiah 61 verse 7 says to you, Isaiah 61 verse 7 says, instead of shame, you will receive double portion in the name of Jesus. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. Instead of shame, you will receive double portion in the name of Jesus. Double portion of honor, double portion of promotion, double portion of increase, double portion of abundance in the mighty name of Jesus. But sometimes we limit ourselves by expecting too little. God promises double portions where there was shame. Everywhere you've experienced shame, you will receive double portion of honor in the mighty name of Jesus. So don't box God in. He wants to bless you beyond what you can ask, think, or imagine. Open your heart to God, and God will fill you with his abundance. So finally, double portion brings restoration. Hallelujah. Double portion brings your restoration. Proverbs 24:16. Says, for though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. You are destined to be restored in the name of Jesus. Job 42 verse 10 says, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job. He restored the fortunes of Job. As he prayed for his friend, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had. Everything you've lost, you will have twice as much. You have double portion. Now, I've explained the multiplicity of the double is what is important here. Twice. So even if you are falling, God's grace will lift you up again in the name of Jesus. Like Job, you will have double portion. Like Ephraim, you will have double blessings. Oh, like Elisha, you will have double portion. Like Jabez, the fragrance of your name will go to the ends of the earth. Ah, God's grace and power will rest upon you all the days of your life. And so it is and shall be in the mighty name of Jesus. The double portion is more than a blessing. It's greater responsibility. So God himself will breathe upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. So I want to pray with you today. If you are here, you're not even in the inheritance of God. Talk less of having a double portion. You're like, Pastor, I want to be named with God. I want to be with God. I'm going to turn it over to the RP and we're going to pray with you. Let's understand that this double portion is available for us. It's available for you.
Father, we thank you. We give you praise and all the glory. Thank you for your children that are surrendering their hearts unto you, Lord. Your word says you stand at the door and you've knocked as they've opened. Father, come in and make your sup with them as you have promised. Father, indeed, plug these ones into your blessings. Let the double portion blessings burst forth in their lives. Honor and glory we give unto your wonderful name, mighty Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Let's give a clap offering unto the Lord for his goodness, kindness, his mercy. Amen.